revival. Or no equal. The one whose name is above every single name that could be named. The name at which every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, this day and every day. So Lord, we honor you, we worship you, we magnify you in this place. And we acknowledge that you are our God and our King and our Lord. We also declare that you are our Heavenly Father. You are our Abba. You are the one who takes us under the shadow of his wing. You are the one who loves us and who protects us and who nurtures us. You are the one who has saved and delivered and healed us. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. Lord, we've come to meet with you. We thank you for your presence in this place. This is your house. Why would we be surprised that you are here? And so, Lord, we just take the time to still our hearts and to open our ears and say, Lord, would you come speak to us this morning? Would you come and open, unfold your word? Share truth. Would you come minister into our hurts and our needs and our confusion and our questions? Would you come and impart strength and knowledge and direction and substance and truth? Because, Lord, we need you. Holy Spirit, we give you this time. Come, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have, as they say, prayed myself happy. That's good. Thank you, man. That was awesome. So good morning. How are you? Nice to see you. As my brother would say, is it nice to see me? Thank you. But you can reserve judgment till the end if you like. I get that. So, we are in a 5-part series called History Makers. Well done to the 3 people who remember that. And the big idea that we've been looking at is that time and time again, over and over and over, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So, if you think you're ordinary, you are in great company. In fact, your ordinariness is by no means a limit on God's desire or God's ability to use you. If that had not been so, most of the Bible stories would never have been written. And therefore, the message is something like this. Don't look in the mirror and disqualify yourself. Don't reflect on your past and rule yourself out of the running. Don't think that your background means that you fall below the threshold of usefulness. Don't consider your circumstances so bleak that they are beyond redemption. Don't allow the enemy to convince you that you are the only one that God does not want. And if we're honest, that's probably what it felt like for our history maker number 3. And her name was Hannah. First lady we've looked at. Great story. I'm sure you know it. At first glance, perhaps this story isn't as dramatic or glamorous or life-changing, earth-shattering as Caleb or, David. Until you start digging a little deeper and looking at Hannah's legacy. This story is a wonderful example of God turning tragedy into triumph. A fantastic example of a giant oak growing from a tiny seed. And it's a reminder that it is not over till God says it's over. Amen. So let's remind ourselves of the story. It starts at the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 1 with a man called Elkanah. And Elkanah had two wives. Lucky fella. The first one was called Peninnah, who had children. And the second one was called Hannah, who did not. Of course, in those days, barrenness, besides being a social stigma, was universally considered to be a divine curse. And to rub that in, the other wife, Peninnah, relentlessly taunted her, particularly on the annual family trips to offer sacrifice of thanksgiving at the tabernacle. Elkanah helpfully pointed out that Hannah shouldn't be so downhearted just because she didn't have children. For surely having him as a husband was better than having 10 sons. It actually says that. Once again, reminding us that men often just don't get it. Apologies, lady, on behalf of the whole of mankind. Anyway, on one of these such pilgrimages, as the family enjoyed the sacrificial meal, Hannah took herself off to pray. And Eli the priest, remember Eli the priest? Eli the priest stumbled upon her at the entrance to the tabernacle. 1 Samuel 1 verse 10. Hannah, it says, was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And this is what she prayed. Verse 11. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he's been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. The Nazarite vow. Eli thought she was drunk at first, but eventually he caught on and he said this. Verse 17. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. 9 months later, Hannah gave birth to a son. I think the necessary biological stuff did happen, by the way. 9 months later, Hannah gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. What does Samuel mean? Samuel means heard by God. And so the next time Hannah went to the tabernacle a little while later, she presented Samuel to Eli the priest. And she said this. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah said, this is verse 26. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. Next chapter, 1 Samuel 2, starts with Hannah's prayer of praise, kind of equivalent to Mary's Magnificat, if you remember that in Luke chapter 1. 1 Samuel 2 verse 1, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. And so, as promised, Hannah left Samuel behind. Could you imagine that? And from that point forward, Samuel lived with Eli, assisting him in the tabernacle. You see, a huge part of Hannah's story is the man that her son became. And so because it's crucial to the story, here's a quick summary of Samuel's life and therefore Hannah's legacy. And then we'll deep dive a bit into Hannah, the history maker. So 1 Samuel chapter 2 tells us that Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord, growing both in physical height and spiritual favor with God and man. If you remember the story, Eli's two sons, whose name were Hophni and Phinehas, were irreverent and immoral rogues. And one day a visiting prophet pronounced that they would both die on the same day and they would be replaced. Verse 35, Then I will raise up a faithful priest who will serve me and do what I desire. I will establish his family and they will be priests to my anointed kings forever. And then perhaps the famous story, 1 Samuel chapter 3, in a day in which prophecies and visions, it says, were rare, young Samuel heard a voice at night. Each time he ran to Eli, and on the third occasion, Eli told him, if you remember, to respond with these immortal words, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That was the start of Samuel's prophetic journey. And he soon became recognized as Israel's prophet and their spiritual leader. In chapter 7, Samuel led the Israelites to victory over the Philistines. Verse 3 of 1 Samuel 7, if you want to return to the Lord with all your heart, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him alone, and then he will rescue you from the Philistines. And as Samuel prayed, and as Samuel offered sacrifice, it says that the Philistine army was thrown into confusion and scattered. And from that point onward, Samuel became Israel's judge. That was the top office before the monarchy was established. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, that the people asked for a king. And Samuel warned them of the consequences, that was in essence a rejection of God, their true king. 1 Samuel chapter 9, he met Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 10, he anointed Saul as the new king, the first king. And Samuel served as Saul's advisor throughout his reign. Although, to be fair, Saul listened and took his advice less and less. Till eventually God rejected Saul and Samuel anointed David as his successor. That's chapter 16. And then Samuel continued to be active as leader of the prophets until his death in 1 Samuel 25. And so Samuel is remembered as one of the most famous and influential leaders in Israel's history. Okay, park that for a second. Back to Hannah. What can we learn from Hannah? What did she do above and beyond? What set her apart? What was it that turned her into a history maker, such that we are talking about her 3,100-200 years later? And the answer is quite a few things. Actually, I've picked four that we're going to look at this morning. And those four are this. Number one, your sorrow is not the end of the story. You picked Hannah's story in your mind. Number two, if you are struggling for a sense of identity and value, you can only find what you were looking for in relationship with the Lord. We'll look at these, each of them in detail. Number three, supernatural results follow a willingness to consecrate to God your most precious thing. And number four, you have no idea what fruit your faithfulness might yield. Anyone else get excited when they hear those four points? Stir your spirit. Let's go through them one by one. I hope this will minister to each of you. One of them might be particularly meaningful. Maybe it's them all. But I just pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will minister to you through Hannah's story. So number one, your sorrow is not the end of the story. You might think it is the end of the world, but it is not. You may think there is no way out, but there is. You may feel hopeless, but if God is on your side, there is always hope. And make no mistake, Hannah was in a really hard place. We've already read it, verse 10. She was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. She was carrying the greatest disgrace that a woman could experience in those days. She was relentlessly mocked by the other wife. Yes, she was loved by a husband, perhaps, but she was relegated into a position of inferiority. And worse than that, she was constantly reminded by everyone. Verse 6 says, because the Lord had kept her from having children. In essence, Hannah was living with a deep and lingering sense of pain, of injustice and rejection. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you couldn't have children. Maybe your children have rejected you. Maybe you are in a relationship in which you are constantly, repeatedly belittled. Perhaps you have convinced yourself that something has rendered you unloved and unlovable. And if so, it's easy to become bitter and resentful, to take offense and assume the role of a victim. It's tempting to give up hope and to lower your expectations to rock bottom, even to turn away from God. But here comes our history maker. Hannah resolutely refused to do any of that. What did she do instead? The answer is she turned to God in heartfelt prayer. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. And I think the first key is to resist the temptation to run from God. That famous verse we used to sing, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. Remember that? And are safe. Here we go. If you run away from God, sorrow will win. If you run to God, you step back into the provision of his promises. God is a blesser. Never forget that. Here we go, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, say all things, in all things, God works for the good, say good, of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Say that means me. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, your sorrow is not the end. Your brokenness is not the end. Your personal weakness or your perceived limitations are not the end. The size of that mountain is not the end. Because if God is for you, and because God is with you, and because God is good, All the time. All the time, God is good. As you said already, Samuel means heard by God. And Hannah was heard by God. And you will be heard by God. And so your sorrow in the here and now is not the end of the story if you are prepared, like Hannah, to turn to God. Number two, we can stop right there. That's good enough. We're going to minister into that later. Number two, if you are struggling for a sense of identity and value, you can only find what you were looking for in relationship with the Lord. You know what? I reckon too many Christians live right there. And I'm sure that the modern social media world does not help. There's always someone out there shinier to compare ourselves with. We're all dealing with the consequence of past failure and disappointment. Of course, the enemy is very keen to remind us of all that. Without doubt, Hannah was living right there. So what can we learn from Hannah? I think we can learn this. You are not going to win the battle by just doing the same thing, but trying harder. You see, self-improvement, however well-intentioned, however well-meaning and thought through, cannot heal your heart. The world does not have answers for you. What it offers will never fill the void. Only relationship with the Lord can do that. Only in your surrender. Think of Hannah. Only in your surrender. Only in your obedience. Only as you lay it down and pray it through. Let him in. Only in receiving him as your father can you find secure identity. Only as you let his word touch your heart and renew your mind can you find true value. And you know what? Hannah found it. You can too. I'm eyeballing you. You can too. And in her faithful prayer and devotion, she opened the door for God to come in. And if you let him in, he can do it for you too. So if you are struggling for a sense of identity, if you are struggling for a sense of value, you can find it only in relationship with the Lord. Okay, we're doing well. You doing okay? I'm plowing on. Number three, supernatural results. Here we go. Supernatural results follow a willingness to consecrate to the Lord your most precious thing. You know, the clearest indicator of Hannah's heart was not her sorrow, but a willingness to give it all to God. Now, I hope you're convinced already that God can do so much more with it than you can, whatever it is. Remember for a second, the biblical principle of the first. God requires of us the firstborn and the first fruits and the first day. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So here's how that works, and here's why God demands the first. You see, if you are prepared to give to God the first and most important thing, i.e. your firstborn son, the first fruits of your harvest, the Sabbath, the first day of the week. If you're prepared to give those to the Lord, surrendering everything else will not be a problem. And anything that you withhold from God has the potential to keep you from his best. I'll say that again. Anything that you withhold from God has the potential to keep you from what he has for you. And what here for me is where Hannah is so impressive. See, I reckon it's one thing to promise God the earth in the hopes that he'll answer your desperate prayer. It's another thing to actually do it. And of course, Hannah gave back to the Lord the very thing she valued the most. The very thing that God had given her in answer to her prayer. The thing that symbolized her cultural identity. Her status within her own family. Her purpose as a woman and mother. I just pray that God will form in me a heart as willing and surrendered as that. What was the point again? The point was that supernatural results follow our willingness to consecrate to God our most precious thing. Could be your gift. Could be your ministry. It could be your future plans. It could be that promotion. Are you prepared to lay it down? Are you prepared, as Hannah did, to offer it to the Lord 100%? You see, Samuel didn't come back at the weekend for visits. He wasn't loaned to the Lord for a year or two. Hannah gave up all her rights as a mother. No strings attached. No exceptions. No bailout clauses. Here's the scoop. If we do that, there is no limit to what God can do with that sacrificial seed. And of course, Samuel, the miracle baby, became one of the most important characters in Israel's history. It all started with Hannah. Her willingness. Her sacrifice. Her obedience. And I'd go so far as to say this. If you want to see anything miraculous in your life, it is going to take a sacrificial seed. It's going to take total obedience. It's going to take an utterly consecrated heart. The seed must die and be buried in the ground if you want it to produce life. Your gift, your plans, your future must be surrendered to the Lord. But the good news is, there is no limit to what God can do with it if you do. Jesus, nicely to number four, the culmination, if you like. You have no idea what fruit your faithfulness might yield. This is good news. You see, Hannah clearly trusted God. She was very willing to trust her son to the Lord. And I'm sure that in doing so, she had complete confidence in the goodness of God. But surely she had no idea quite what was going to grow from that little seed of faith. We've already looked at Samuel's extraordinary life and ministry, a pivotal figure in the unfolding of Israel's history. Without him, Israel would have strayed way off course. Without him, there probably would have been no David. Without him, Goliath probably would have prevailed. There would have been no temple. And Jesus would have had to come from a different route. That is Hannah's legacy. through Hannah's simple act of faith, God was able to mightily bless the whole nation. And it all started with a disgraced, childless woman living with an unknown husband in an insignificant place. Look it up in the story. You've never heard of it. And the moral is this. Don't despise little things. Don't resent it if your seed is only small, or if someone else's gift seems to be more impressive, or if your contribution is hidden behind the scenes, or if someone else appears to get the credit. To hear this, our job is not to change the world. That's God's job. Take a deep sigh of relief and breath there. It's not your job to change the world. Someone already has that job. If that is not our job, what is our job? I'm glad you asked. Our job is to obey the whisper. Our job is to sow the seed. It's to follow the instruction, or to stand on the promise, or to complete the assignment, or to hold our course. And if we do so, one day we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Here we go, Ephesians 3:20. You can all quote this one. "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." The point is this. You never know what God can do. You never know what God can do through you. Through your small and simple act of faithfulness. And you never know. You might make history. Remember, you probably will not change history for everybody, but you can change it for somebody. You can introduce them to Jesus. You can love them when everyone else has gone missing. You can hold them up when they're at their lowest ebb. You can teach them a principle that will transform the way they think. You can help them to see through God's eyes so they can see a much brighter future. Don't despise a small seed. Don't underestimate what God can do with what you give him. And you have no idea what fruit your faithfulness might yield. I'll ask the worship team, they wouldn't mind coming back to the front. We're going to go straight from here into response, and there's lots in there. I hope that something in there has stirred in your spirit. But I'm going to give you two specific responses this morning, if that's okay. Number one, response number one, are you ready? Is turn your sorrow into a prayer. Think of Hannah. Turn your sorrow into a prayer. And if your heart is heavy this morning, why not go and see our prayer ministry team? They'll be over there. And see if God cannot turn that sorrow into a miracle, just like he did for Hannah. Response number one, turn your sorrow into a prayer. And then response number two, won't be a surprise. What is God asking you to surrender to him? Joshua 3 verse 5. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." The point is, the consecration comes first. The laying down, the surrender, the holiness, the giving it to God comes first. And the amazing things, the miracles, the supernatural, what God wants and intends and purposes to do, long sentence, comes afterwards. Consecration precedes miracles. It'll go so much further in God's hands than it possibly could in yours. It's a challenge. Perhaps you are withholding. Perhaps you are withholding what you know in your heart of hearts the Lord is demanding. If so, surrender it to Him today. Today will be a great day to do business with the Lord. So response number two, what is God asking you to surrender to Him? And as I was walking and praying this morning, I want to expand that slightly. What might God be asking you to re-surrender or to re-consecrate to Him? Maybe there's something that you've laid down before in the past, and you're still waiting for the fulfillment, for the increase, for the abundance that comes from that gift, that offer of sacrifice. That then maybe today is the opportunity for you to re-consecrate, to lay it down again, to give it back to the Lord afresh. Say, here it is, Lord. I acknowledge that you can do so much more with this than I can. Here it is. Here's my gift. Here's my time. Here's that relationship. Here's my job situation. Here's that challenge. Here is my heart. Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to spend a bit of time in worship now. I'll pass back to Tree in a second. She can steward the rest of this. But if you like prayer ministry this morning, please feel free to come over here to this side. They're happy to pray with you for you. They love to pray with you for you. Whatever it is you bought.